Well, last week I raced through a book in just 2 days' time. Do you ever find that happens to you? This book was by Barbara Brown Taylor. If you're not familiar with her work, she was an Episcopal priest who now serves as a religion professor. And she's always writing about losing her faith and finding it again, and losing it again and finding it again. And all the titles of her books basically say as much. Leaving Church, a memoir of faith. Learning to walk in the dark. Home by another way. So these are books that can really speak to you when you start to question your beliefs and you end up feeling lost. They're great for helping you find your way again, like she has. I actually was at a conference in October where she was one of the speakers, and before it was her turn to speak, she was sitting out in the audience, and I realized that I was sitting right behind her, just this diagonal distance. It was like sitting behind Beyonce. And I decided I had to take a picture of her to show it to Pastor David to make him jealous, but I wanted to be really stealthy. So I just crept my phone out, and I leaned it over, and I went to click the button, only to remember a little too late that there would be a flash. Well, Barbara Brown Taylor's latest book is the one that I just raced through, and it's called Holy Envy. Holy Envy, Finding God in the Faith of Others. And once again, it's about how she kind of loses her bearings. And this time, she finds them by being in relationship with people who are not Christians. She gets to know Jews and Buddhists and Muslims. And the book becomes all about the question of where her religion fits with other religions. Like, what does it mean to be Christian in this world that is so pluralistic? So she finds herself wondering, who is part of God's kingdom? Is it just Christians, or could it include non-Christians as well? At the end of the day, who are the sheep in the sheep pen with Jesus? And these same kinds of questions come up for me when we hear the passage from John 10 that Marissa just read for us this morning. It feels like the whole passage is about knowing who's in and who's out when it comes to God's kingdom. Which sheep came into the pen the right way and which ones got it wrong? And this is how the passage begins. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved." So who's in? And how did they get in? And who's out? And who will be saved? When I was studying the passage to prepare for this morning, I started to realize how many gates are all around us. And here we have Jesus calling himself a gate. And once again, he's referring to himself as something we see all the time, just like he did when he said, "I am bread," or "I am the light." We see these things all the time. Now he's calling himself a gate. And when you think about it, gates are all around us. We put up gates for babies not to fall downstairs, or for people not to park in parking garages without paying, or for dogs not to mess on the living room carpet. They're everywhere. And I think there are two reasons we love gates so much. There are two reasons we have so many of them. The first reason is that they keep us safe, right? They keep things out. If I go to visit you in Pine Wild or Seven Lakes, first, I have to go through a gate with a guard. I have to prove that I'm supposed to be there visiting you. Imagine the danger you and your neighbors would face if that gate wasn't there and your pastor could just come in unannounced. But we do. We have this very human desire, the desire to be safe and contained, the desire to keep out the things that make us vulnerable. are not the things that make us vulnerable, but the things that make us realize we already are vulnerable, because we're vulnerable all the time. That can be a tough pill to swallow. So of course we resist that thought and we put up gates that we think can take away our vulnerability. We have a very natural fear of thieves and bandits. It's natural to want a secure system with a closed gate. And Jesus knows this about us. He's not shy about saying there are things you want to keep out. He says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So that's one reason we use gates. We use them to keep things out. The other reason we use gates is to keep things in. Whether that's keeping in the pigs on your farm or just keeping your property marked as yours, we need to know what counts as in and what counts as out. That's why we have fences and gates. They mark the inside from the outside. Which brings us back to our passage from John. Jesus is talking about people as though they are sheep, some of whom belong inside and some who don't, some who come in by the right gate and some who don't. And I imagine people listening to Jesus and trying to figure out if they are some of the sheep in the in crowd. I imagine them wondering where they stand in this scenario. What Jesus says sounds pretty hard-lined. Here are his words again. I am the gate. There are those who try to enter the sheepfold by other ways, sneaking in, not going through the gate. Those are thieves and bandits. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved. So maybe that's clear. I figure I should be good. I'm a Christian. I began a relationship with Jesus in 2010. I'm in church every Sunday. I'm a pastor. I'm in church 3 times every Sunday. If anyone should be safe in the sheepfold, it's me. But then Jesus goes and messes up my certainty. Because there's that little problem of when he said, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven." Ouch. It's like just when you think you've got this faith thing figured out, Jesus shakes things up again. He says, not everyone who calls me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he says, only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So what if a non-Christian does the will of his Father in heaven? Does that mean they get in? And what if I call Jesus Lord, but most of the time I'm not doing the will of God? Where does that leave me? It's at times like these when we can feel shaken up and even lose our faith. And I'll be honest, when I read Barbara Brown Taylor's book, I started feeling confused. Because it's like all my life I had depended on this notion that I was in the right sheepfold and I knew who was on the outside. I mean, there's a reason I'm not a practicing Muslim. I'm not a practicing Hindu. I'm a Christian. And I thought that meant I was in. It's like all my life I've been behind a gate that serves this beautiful dual purpose of keeping out some people and letting me know I'm among the in crowd. It was nice and tidy, and my fences were intact. But now I have to admit something. If I claim to worship Jesus as my Lord and Savior, if I claim that he is my gate, he is my God, then things were never as nice and tidy as all that. Because that guy was always swinging the gate open. He was always swinging the gate open. That's just how he lived. Whenever we tried to mark off those boundaries and close off that gate, he went and ruined it. When we said children are pesky little runny-nosed critters who just run wild all over the place, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. When we said women should be seen and not heard, Jesus pointed to the leadership of a woman anointing his feet and said, you should emulate her. He said, mark my words, her story will be told till the end of time. And when we said the government was too big to care about the little people, I mean, maybe he would have said that was true, but he also showed us that even the oppressor has a heart. He said, let me heal the servant of this commander in the Roman army. He praised that Roman soldier and said, I tell you, not even in my own religion, not even in Israel, have I found such faith. That is who we worship when we say we worship Jesus. We get this beautiful picture of a God who continues to draw the circle wider and welcome in the ones we might have thought belonged on the outside. And that's all fine and good. It's fine to welcome children and women and soldiers, but what about those people Barbara Brown Taylor was talking about? What about the Hindus and the Confucians and the people of no faith? We have to draw the line somewhere, right? Well, I can't tell you how to answer that question. I don't know where Jesus draws the line. All I can tell you is that wherever we draw the line, he seems to keep moving it. When it comes to who's in and who's out, Jesus doesn't ask us what religious box we checked on the Pew survey. He doesn't ask us if we are a member of a synagogue or a mosque or a church, and if it's a baby baptism church or a believer's baptism church. No, when it comes to the question of who's in the sheepfold, Matthew 25 says all Jesus wants to know is, did you feed the hungry? Did you give drink to the thirsty? Did you go to prison and hang out with people convicted of crimes? Did you open your door to the stranger? Did you punch in the code on your gate so you could open the door to the stranger? That's all he asks. And if our answer is yes, then he says, you're a sheep. Welcome to the flock. All this time I thought I knew who gets to be part of his kingdom, never realizing that he would keep swinging the gate open again. I thought I was set. All the while, he was saying, I have other sheep too. I have sheep that do not belong to this fold. He actually says that a few verses later in the Gospel of John. I have sheep that do not belong to this fold. What if God and the sheep pen and the gate, what if they were all just bigger than we knew? You might be here this morning as someone who's felt worried that your loved one is on the wrong side of the gate when it comes to this faith stuff. And maybe you wouldn't even put it that way, but you just have that friend or family member where you think, I wish they had faith. Their life would be so much richer. I wish they got these gifts I've been getting. Then again, you might be that family member. You might be here this morning not out of any faith practice of your own, but because you care about someone who cares about this stuff. And because of your courtesy, you're here, even if in your own inner self, you might not feel like this stuff is for you. Well, no matter where we find ourselves this morning, I believe we are all here right now, and that's no coincidence. I believe we have been led here by a love that is so all-encompassing, so all-embracing that no one gets left behind. And when we can't quite fathom that, when we think there have to be some who get left behind, Jesus swings the gate open again. And when we can't quite fathom that, when we fear we ourselves might not make it in, Jesus swings the gate open again. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly through him and through the one who is the gate. We come in and go out and find pasture. Turns out, an open gate is the safest place to be. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you are able, please stand for our closing hymn.